Good morning, everybody can have a seat. Today, this week when I was praying about this sermon, I had a couple things laid on my heart. Courage and duty. And I got to looking online and I found a sermon that I adapted. It was just like, normally I pray and it comes to me, and this time I prayed and this really popped up. It just has, I think, has a lot of meaning for this week. Yesterday, we celebrated Veterans Day. Veterans Day was originally started November 11th, 1919. It celebrated the end of World War I, which at that time was the biggest bloodshed the world had ever seen. People were dying at the rate, in some of these battles, 50 and 60,000 in an hour, because they were charging men in waves like they did back in the 1800s, but they had water-cooled machine guns that were shooting 1,000 rounds a minute for up to half a mile away. The carnage was so much that when it ended, the U.S. government felt the need to celebrate. Woodrow Wilson started the program, and in 1938, it became a national holiday. 1954, the name was changed to Veterans Day to honor all veterans that have served. And Webster's Dictionary says a veteran is a person that's had long service or experience in an occupation or office, or a person served in the military force. We tend to think of war sometimes as being a regional conflict, world conflict, camouflage, weapons, tanks. But there's another war being fought. It's being fought every day right here. It's being fought in our schools, our homes, on our cell phones, on our televisions, in our newspapers. It's a spiritual war. It's being fought for our souls and the souls of our children. And even if you've never wore a military uniform defending this country, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and take that seriously, you're in it. Whether you want to be or not, you're a subject of an attack. You may be a new Christian, you may be a long-term veteran, but either way, you have or you will see action. And the Bible gives us a lot of examples of ordinary people that did extraordinary things that were soldiers in this battle. And there are some common points that come out. First one, your courage is going to be tested. Because it's hard to do the right thing. It's hard to do what the Lord tells you to do that you know is right in your heart. It's very hard to stand up sometimes. I know it can't be for me. It's easy to do what's right when that's easy. It's not so easy to do what's right when it goes upstream. And even for some of the greatest soldiers, they're in God's army, they were tested. You take David. David killed a bear and a lion with his bare hands as a teenager. Slew some guy that had hundreds of pounds of armor and about 9 foot tall. He waged war on the Philistines. The whole time while he was evading capture by his king, his own king, who he wouldn't kill because the king was God's anointed. This was a man who had tremendous amounts of courage. And this, these verses up here, when David writes about the psalm, and he wrote in his psalm, this is one that courage just pours out. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. A fowler was a professional bird catcher. And over their time, the Israelites had a lot of people trying to catch them. Egyptians, Amalekites, Philistines, they all wanted to bring down God's people. God delivered His people from all of them. And David's reflecting on this, that he knows God will take care of him, and that's where his courage comes from. Sorry, y'all, I am putting my clicker down this morning. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. What are you more afraid of? That enemy that's right in front of you, or the one you can't really see? A lot of times, my own imagination takes over, and I'm more afraid of things in the dark that I can't really see than those things that are right in front of me. And David touches on this. And the darkness still has an effect on most of us, whether it's physical or spiritual darkness. And sickness and disease, especially in David's time, they weren't seen. But they had a devastating effect. Usually if one person caught the plague, almost everybody in the village did. It would wipe out almost entire villages. All these things can shake a person. And David's telling us, even through all this, God's with us. And 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, in ancient times, entire villages were wiped out from attacks, from disease. In verse 9, David makes a real important point that is echoed throughout the New Testament. If you will say, the Lord is my refuge, you come to the Lord. He gives us free will. We still have to be humble and submit ourselves. And that's something even back in the Psalm, and is reiterated, restated throughout the New Testament. God wants to be there for us, but we got to submit to him. We got to say we need him. Please be my refuge. And no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you and to guard you in all your ways. And our courage and faith, a lot of times they don't come during easy times. I know most of the times I've ended up having faith has been more faith, and seeing my faith grows whenever things aren't going real good. And I think a lot of us are like that. You see your faith grow in times of trial and trouble. And also your courage is tested as well. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. That it's okay for your weakness, our weakness. God's going to make us. God will take care of us. And Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 40:29, he gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Your courage is going to be tested in the spiritual battle. It's the courage to do the right thing in spite of it not being the easy thing. Another point I would make, there's a very real enemy to fight. There's a very real enemy out there. And the real enemy just took my page number 4. So, y'all, Paul is talking about here, Ephesians 6:10-20, the real armor of God. We have an enemy that is out to devour us. Some people think he's not real, and I think that's one of the most amazing things he's ever been able to pull off, is that you think that there's not a real entity of evil out here. Some people think that there are people that just do evil things, but it's motivated by something supernatural. I'm a firm believer in that. And Paul talked to us about the full armor of God. Being strong in the Lord, putting on the full armor, because our struggle isn't against flesh and blood most of the time. It's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil out here. And if you don't think there's a war going on, go to Minnesota. Community colleges up there have Islamic prayer rooms, but they don't celebrate Christmas. That's very real. That's a state law. That's not one or two. That is a Minnesota state law. Ten Commandments aren't allowed in courtrooms where judges are using Islamic Sharia law to guide to govern their cases. And now, I'm all about either keep it all out or put it all in, one or the other. But it's very much a double standard. And we talk about, here in these verses, about truth and the gospel of peace with readiness. Soldiers don't go into battle without multiple pieces of equipment. And soldier in God's army is no different. Truth, be honest with yourself by our need for God. Because we need God. We really do. Every day, every moment. Righteousness, accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior. Not being hypocritical about it. Righteousness is that holiness feeling, but you're not looking down on somebody else. And readiness. How many times does the devil call you and say, hey, are you busy at 3:30? I want to come in and mess up your life. It'd be ready because the enemy has sneak attacks. It always happens at the time you least expect it. And I'm right there with you. It's always happened to me at the times I least wanted it to happen, usually. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation, and you pray in the Spirit. And this comes back to things that we talk about usually almost every sermon. Faith, growing deeper in the Word of God, and prayer. Having that relationship with Jesus Christ, and then those things. You submit yourself to the Lord. I need you. I know you came to earth for me. You lived for me, you died for me, and you arose, and you went to heaven. I need you. I can't make it in this world without you. Let me grow deeper in your word, and Father, just help me put one foot in front of another. It don't have to be fancy. Your version of the Bible don't have to be fancy. Just read it. Read it and pray to him. Let him be the general of your battles. And pray for me. Also for me, and this is from Paul, that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Wow. Standing up. This is someone that, and Bill touched on this in one of his sermons. Paul was beat up, thrown in prison, shipwrecked, stoned. And he can still write that. And he wasn't just writing it. He believed it. And he practiced it. And he knew that enemy was out there. And look at that courage to be able to do all that. I mean, I don't know about you. Somebody starts throwing rocks at me and beating me down. I don't know if I could get up there and write that. That is just an amazing show of courage and determination on his part. In 1 John... also writes, in 1 John, John writes about this world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who's in the world. They are from the world and speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. And we're from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever's not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. This isn't the world we were meant to be in. This is a fallen world that's filled with sin. And it's an enemy. There's an enemy here that's stalking throughout this world. This is one of the basics of our fight as a Christian soldier. Courage will be tested, and there's an enemy out there. And the third, it's very hard to be a soldier in God's army. It's not easy. The walk of a believer is not easy. And sometimes it seems like it's getting worse. So much is wrong in this world, and there's just not that many people that want to take a stand on it. Elijah, even in his time, experienced the same thing. Now, to give you a little background on this, Elijah had just had his showdown with the prophets of Baal. He won. God answered his prayer. He set fire to a drenched altar, and the Lord commanded him to kill all the prophets of Baal, which he did. Now, Ahab and Jezebel, king and queen, didn't like that, so they had him on the run. And Jezebel said, basically in verse 2, I'm going to kill you. He ran for his life. And then he said, I've had enough. I've had enough. Lord, take me. Take me. I'm done. Let me meet my ancestors. This is Elijah. This guy rode into heaven. He did not die. He took part in 7 different miracles that are recorded. He prayed that a sacrifice he made unto the Lord on top of a soaking wet offer be consumed by fire, and it was. He prayed for rain, for no rain for 3.5 years. It didn't rain. This guy had faith, but he was tired. He was wore out. And now he's fearful for his life. He's running scared. He had battle fatigue, and he was done. But the Lord wasn't done to him, with him. Laid down up under a bush, fell asleep, and then an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. And he got up, bread was ready, jar of water was there, and he started and he ate a little bit and he laid back down again. And the Lord told, and the angel of the Lord came back a second time, touched him, said, get up and eat, for the journey's too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank, and strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and nights till he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. We need spiritual food. And spiritual food comes our relationship with Christ, prayer, and the Word. Little goes a long way. And this is an experienced man of God. If he gets down in the dumps, we all do. Spiritual food. It gets him back up. And there's power in God's Word. There he is. There's power in these words. There's power in prayer. And Elijah, he made it to Horeb. He spent the night in the cave, and they asked, what are you? The Lord came to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. And he was reminding God, hey, I've been there. You asked me, I've done it. I've been there. I'm a veteran. I've been there. And he felt like he was the only one. Outnumbered, the only one left. Sometimes I think a lot of us feel like that. Like you're the only one out there. And you just want to just go hide somewhere. And I definitely mean us. There are times, I'd like to just join Smokey the Poodle on the bed there in the kitchen and not get up and go anywhere. I look at the news reluctantly. I do. I look at it reluctantly. I grew up watching 60 Minutes every Sunday night, watching the news every time it got turned on, and now I can't even stand to look at it. Thankfully, I like looking at sports. Yesterday, Carolina won, but that was about the extent of it. Our morality, things we grew up in. There's somebody proposing out in California to change our national anthem because they don't like it. This day we just celebrated yesterday, somebody's wanting to change the name of it. And don't take my word for it. It's out there. It's online. Our religious freedom? Think about Minnesota. It's not the only state. God-given rights that we've had in this country? There have been 48 million people that have wore the uniform at some point in time of the armed services of the United States. A lot of them in May, we celebrate Memorial Day for the ones that didn't come home, the ones that are out there in France, they're in the Philippines, they shed their blood all over this world. And we're one, and we have some people, I'm just going to say some crackpots that want to change the name a Veterans Day and want to change this national anthem because they don't like it, this is where we're at. And it's not good. And it's hard to stand up and say, enough. Enough. And so we understand kind of how Elijah feels when we think about it like that. And Lord said, go stand out on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord's about to pass by. Then there was earthquake and there was fire. And then a whisper. And how many times does the Lord come back out to us like that? Sometimes in a whisper. Sometimes it can be hard to understand and hear that. I never forget, I had to preach a sermon one week, and I didn't hear. I didn't understand. Nothing was ever laid on my heart. And I had to just come up with just a sermon. And anyone that was here, it did not sound right. It almost sounded like me trying to get up here and sing or something. It just did not fit. And the noise of this world, it can distract us from what the Lord's trying to tell us. Because a lot of times he does come in a whisper. And if we tune that out and we pray and we try and find him in his word, then we can still hear what he's trying to tell us, because the Holy Spirit gives us our marching orders from our general. And our general is Jesus Christ. And Jesus pretty well tells us here what one of our biggest standing orders are. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of this age. Nothing's changed. Lord still wants us to go and make disciples. He still wants us to witness for him. He wants us to tell people about his good news. How he came to this earth in man form, lived, died, resurrected as a covenant for people to have salvation, because we can't have it without him. And when you think you're alone like Elijah did, part of this that didn't come up here, in 1 Kings 9:18, Lord told Elijah, I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal and every mouth that has not kissed him. He was telling Elijah, you're not by yourself. You're not alone. And sometimes the media, they're going to have you believing time's changing. Those old beliefs, they don't fit. The way this country was founded, that was a different time. It don't apply anymore. I don't believe that. I'm going to tell you, political correctness is never going to bring peace to this world. Never. Jesus Christ is the only thing that will bring peace to this world. And to the point, that they are, have you believing, like Elijah, that these numbers are so small, like we're the only ones left out here? We're not. Lisa and I went to a Joyce Meyer conference in Charlotte at Bojangles Coliseum. That place was slam full. There are people out there that read that Bible. There are people out there that pray. They just don't get up and hoop and holler. But we're still out here. We're still fighting this spiritual battle. And I get aggravated when Braden comes home from school and he tells me about something that is just utterly ridiculous as an educational policy. I get aggravated when I turn on the news and I see, and I'm all about, you got your rights. Everybody has got their opinion, and I respect that. Sometimes right's right, wrong's wrong. It just is what it is. And we need to make a decision. You going to be counted as a soldier? You going to go hide up under a bush? And by soldier, I don't mean getting out here doing anything violent, but are you going to walk with your heart? And is your heart with Jesus? The decisions you make, will it be for from what you know is right or wrong? Or will it be what this world expects you to be? Paul said in Romans 12, don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed. Be transformed by God. So many of us now have been MIA or AWOL from this battle. We come to church on Sunday, but the battlefield really takes place. Sometimes it takes place in the church. Sometimes it does. Because it can be a playground, a devil's playground. And there's so many times battles take place at work. They take place at school. And it's little encroachments, little bits and pieces. Well, I don't really feel comfortable. And before you know it, you've backed up and backed up and backed up. And you're not really a soldier. You've kind of just left. You make an appearance once a week and that's it. And I've been guilty of that. I've been in environments where I have regretted not offering to pray with someone. In hindsight, I should have prayed with them and I didn't. And I don't mean bash anybody over the head with a Bible, but can I pray for you? You look like you're lost. We have church. It starts 10:30 on Sundays. I'd like to invite you. Little steps like that. And that's active duty. It's easy to stand by and think that somebody else will speak up and say something. Somebody else is going to tell the world about Jesus. Somebody else will invite them to church. Somebody else is going to tell people how to find hope. Somebody else is going to tell them to find how to find healing and strength when everybody else has failed them. How many of us came to Christ because someone else told us about them? I did. Somebody prayed with me in a Sunday school room in Mount Gallagher Baptist Church 20-something years ago. That was a somebody else. Now it's our time to decide, are we going to be that somebody else for somebody? In conclusion, Luke 10:27, Jesus was asked, what's the most important commandment? And love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your strength and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. This is one of the most important orders our Lord gave us. And as soldiers in this army, your courage is going to be tested, because it is hard to, anyone that's ever done it, I tell you, it's hard to ask someone, can I pray for you, when you know they're not a Christian. Would you come to church? Can I send you a Bible verse? Something like that. It's hard to. It's very hard to. Our courage will be tested. And we are fighting a very real enemy that wants our destruction. He wants our destruction as a religion, as a people. And it's not easy being in this army. But it's too important to run away from. And Scripture tells us very clearly what we need to do. And when this life is over, we're all going to have to stand before the Lord and answer for our own lives. Bill and I, we're spiritual guides, but when it comes right down to it, everyone here is responsible for their own spiritual journey and their relationship with Christ. And they're going to come before Him one day, and He's going to ask them. And they're going to review every part of this life. And I want everyone in this room to be able to say, to have Jesus tell them, God tell them, well done, good and faithful servant. And now in a moment, we're going to start the music. We're going to open these altars. And there may be someone here that has never accepted Christ. I will be glad to say the sinner's prayer with you. There may be someone that has backslid, and I don't need to see any names. I don't need to see any hands, but I encourage you to pray. Father, I've been gone from this battle a long time. Let the Holy Spirit work through me. Guide my thoughts, guide my heart. Now, when you do, you're going to be attacked a lot more. You will be. but it's worth it. If there is a problem here, and I forgot to ask about prayer list today, is there anyone that we can add to the prayer list? Because as we saw in this sermon, prayer is important. Is there anyone we can lift up in prayer right now? Yes, ma'am.
Jim Taylor.
They're on the list, Mama.
I know, but he really needs prayer.
We will lift him up. Jim Taylor is an uncle of ours, is my uncle. And he is a godly man, and his mind is starting to slip. And they're on the prayer list, Esther and Jim Taylor and family, and he's as good a man as you'd ever want to meet. He is saved. His mind is slipping. He is in his early 80s. My aunt is in her late 70s, bilateral knee transplants. They've had one daughter that's passed away and one son that's going through some issues. And if we could lift them up when we go to prayer, it'd be appreciated. And as always, we're praying for healing for everyone here that needs healing. And I just want to ask, I'm going to say a quick prayer, then we'll open up the songs, okay? Open up the song, and the altars will be open as well. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, Father, first we give thanks for all those that put on the uniforms throughout the years of this for this country in defense of this country. Father, defense of our church, of our religion. There are so many countries in this world where your houses are not allowed, where your people are persecuted and they are killed. Father, we give thanks for the people, the men and women that help defend that. Father, we lift them up because they have gone through so much pain. They have left on troop carriers. And when they came home, they weren't the same people. Father, they sacrificed part of themselves. And Father, we recognize that sacrifice and we give thanks for it. And Father, we realize that there is a war going on right now. And you have recruited all of us to be your people, to be your body, to be your army, to be your soldiers in this fight, to be your disciples. Father, to be those that spread the message. And Father, it's hard because it's easy to get scared. It is easy to not say what you want us to say. And Father, we just ask that you just help us to overcome that, because we know courage isn't the absence of fear. It's just being able to master it. And Father, we know there's a very real enemy out there. And Father, we just ask that you fill us with the Holy Spirit and use us in the way that you mean to use us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can you get everybody to stand, please?